Welcome, welcome, Mush Fam, to another episode of Mushroom Revival Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to bridging the gap between you, our lovely listeners, and the wonderful, wacky world of fungi. So let's get into it. Today we have an awesome guest. Tess is a great friend, and she owns Fungi Freights.
Yeah, Tess Brzezinski is the name, and she is the founder, head educator, and cultivator at Fungi Freights Urban Lab and Environmental Studio. With a science degree graduate from Wayne State University, she works as an environmental scientist and continues doing research with micro-remediation in the city of Detroit. She's a member of the Michigan Mushroom Hunters Club, as well as the North American Mycological Association. Throughout her studies, she has learned the impact mycelium plays in the environment and how beneficial, tenacious, and magical it truly is. Through Fungi Freights, her goal is to reunite mushrooms and humankind by educating the people of Detroit and its surrounding neighbors about the benefits of mushrooms, what they have on health, food scarcity, and the environment. So thanks for joining us today, Tess. We're really excited. Do you want to start with how you got into the world of mushrooms?
Absolutely. Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me. So to start off, I guess, how I came into this magical world of fungi and mushrooms, I think I would have to say remembering as far back as mushroom hunting with my grandfather in northern Michigan. He loved morels. Being a Polish man, it's a very big culture, the mushroom world in Poland. So he always had like a deep love for mushrooms, cooking with them, picking them, teaching us about them. And that kind of started out like my sight for mushrooms, but I didn't really start engaging and become fascinated with them, I don't think, until my teenage years, dabbling into the psilocybin den. And they really helped me cope with some depression issues I had and some emotional setbacks, and really opened my eyes to a new beginning. And I began studying microbiology in college and started learning some of the benefits that they have within our ecosystem, soil health, and reading Paul Stamets' Mycelium Running. I was fascinated with mycelium and kind of realized how I could bring those two worlds together of science and my deep childhood love for mushrooms together. And I've kind of went from there and dove deeper into the fungal realm, self-educating and collaborating with other myco folks around the country.
Yeah, and it seems like most mycologists are self-taught and rely on collaborating with other myco folks. And I see you're a member of Michigan Mushroom Hunters Club and North American Mycological Association. Can you tell us more about these two clubs and what do they do? What does it mean to be a member? And who do you recommend to join these clubs?
Yeah, so definitely being a part of these clubs is very helpful, especially being involved in an interest that isn't so well known or kind of understudied, so to speak. So these clubs, I'll begin with the Michigan Mushroom Hunters Club. It's a club designed around just mycological interests, foraging, identification. Mainly we have forays. A lot of them are open to the public, and we just welcome people of the community to come on these forays with us to help gather mushrooms for food and medicine, and working with people on identification. We also hold potlucks revolved around delicious mushroom dishes. And we kind of just come together and eat and talk about the world of fungi. And it opens up the community to this, just this topic. So I would recommend anybody of Michigan that's interested in foraging and learning more about identifying mushrooms in their backyard and utilizing mushrooms for their own food and medicine.
Awesome. Could you tell us a bit about Fungi Freights and what you're doing there and what this project entails?
So Fungi Freights is an urban laboratory based in Detroit, Michigan. Currently, I'm still working on equipping this freight container into a lab setting. And its development is designed to allow us to study more in depth the abilities fungi have for environmental health, as well as encouraging citizen science. So we want this space eventually to be opened up to the community and allow people to get hands-on experience within lab work and cultivating fungi. So it's kind of a growing thing at the moment, and we hope to just educate the community further on environmental awareness and the ability mushrooms have to encourage soil health.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, I'm a big fan of shipping containers, especially in mm-hmm. urban settings. And I used to be really into urban agriculture and thought it was gonna get into hydroponics and kind of weaving in hydroponics and mushrooms and spirulina and insects and all the stuff in shipping containers in urban areas, but obviously switched. So I'm glad you're doing it for mushrooms and bringing that into kind of urban cities. And I'm curious, how does Detroit react to mycology and mushrooms? Are they receptive or repelled by them? Is it kind of a mix? And maybe what do you recommend for someone trying to bring this kind of a niche topic to cities?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Surprisingly, Detroit is very receptive to the whole mushroom culture. And I'm not exactly sure why just yet. I know we do have a big community, kind of a grassroots community here that is always striving for, you know, an alternative to solutions, more environmentally sound solutions. So we do have that kind of, I guess, hippie culture, if you will, that is really, really interested in the whole mycological world. And, you know, there are little pockets and areas, you know, that people just really have no idea. And I think it could be just the lack of education on these topics, which is partially my goal to bring, you know, citizen science to these communities. For people, you know, looking that are based in urban areas, city, so to speak, I think starting something like this that encourages people to get into urban agriculture or, you know, studying the natural sciences further could have a lot of potential and be very beneficial to urban setting.
Yeah, I agree. And thanks for bringing that to Detroit. So in what ways have you witnessed Fungi Freights helping the community?
We do a lot of work, DIY workshops based around teaching people how to cultivate their own mushrooms on a low tech scale. So I think this really helps people. One of our future endeavors is to kind of really aid in food security and bringing this this technique of how to grow mushrooms and how easy it really can be and nutritional. It can be to a community. We're trying to bring that whole idea. And I see with a lot of our workshops, people are very receptive to it. And it's kind of helping minority communities develop their own sustainable farming techniques and really bringing in a nutritional source into their community. So that's one way I really feel we are kind of helping the community, as well as just getting people to think in a different way, kind of just opening up that, you know, that third eye to people, sometimes the mushroom eye, I guess, the mushroom vision and that light bulb. You see people sometimes and the light bulb just goes on and you're like, oh, yes, they got it. So kind of just opening up that gap, I think.
Awesome. And I see you're in the process of building a mushroom shipping container, which is awesome. And I'm curious, how has this process been going? And any pitfalls, any great successes, any kind of amazing insights with working with shipping containers with mushrooms? And, you know, where do you plan to put this? And what do you plan to do inside of it?
was for the shipping containers for lab work and expanding our fungal knowledge and keeping a grow room separate that will be outside of the container, just to keep those parameters separated. They do have very different environments, so we don't want to mix those together, especially in such a confined space. So our whole goal is seeing how this shipping container project goes and eventually equipping them for other locations. So shipping them to areas affected by food insecurity or minority settings where people can utilize the space for their own community growth.
Where do you get these freights? I'm just curious if where you're obtaining them.
So there's a lot of different sources, actually. I mean, from Craigslist to, you can buy them privately, even on Craigslist, or from like a shipping container company. And I got mine from a shipping yard. I forget the actual LLC name, but it went very smoothly. I do suggest, if you are going to be using a shipping container for purposes of, being utilized by individuals to get a high cube, and they deliver it, it really goes over smoothly. It's not as difficult as many people would think, I guess.
That's awesome. It's so resourceful, and I love the repurposing. So
yeah, I've been seeing a lot of shipping container houses and pretty much anything you can think of. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Totally.
Right. It follows the whole reduce, reuse, recycle.
Totally.
That's good, yeah.
So how was running your Kickstarter? And do you recommend this to any of our listeners who are wanting to do mushroom projects?
Yeah, so the Kickstarter, at first I was a little uneasy about doing a Kickstarter, asking the public, reaching out to people for help. It's something that I have difficulty doing in the first place. But I realized because of my desire to help the community so much and open up this space for others, I thought it could, would be appropriate to kind of reach out. And the Kickstarter went over very well. It was very encouraging to see how many strangers, even across the country, really participated and contributed. So that really makes you feel confident and hopeful for your project. So I really do recommend it for people. I think having a good idea and a basis for what you're doing is very important. I highly recommend it if you have a set goal in mind and really looking to expand.
Awesome. And you teach a lot of workshops and events, and I bet you're looking forward to teaching some of those in the actual shipping container, maybe some lab skills or something. I saw you're teaching things on like fungal dyes and all types of things on fungi. What workshops and events can we look forward to being put on by Fungi Freights?
Yeah, workshops and lectures are a really big part of something I do and sharing this knowledge with the community. I think with having the freight container finished and set in place, I really look forward to teaching more high-tech cultivation and sharing the lab techniques with individuals, kind of moving away, but keeping the low-tech cultivation available, but also moving into a more in-depth practice of fungi cultivation for those who are looking to go, kind of deeper into it.
It'd be a great resource for whoever finds you. So what do you think is the most impressive thing about fungi?
I would say their adaptability, the diversity, and as well as their adaptability. It goes to show how ancient these organisms are by their ability to adapt and be so resilient in whichever environment that they are subjected to. And I just think that's fascinating and shows how far they've come.
Yeah, for sure. It's fun to watch their growth and our human interaction with fungi and how we're making a synergistic relationship with them. And one of those synergistic relationships is, which is pretty famous right now, is mycomaterials. And I see you wrote an article for Female and Fungi about mycomaterials. Have you experimented with mycomaterials in the past? What have you done? And how did that go?
Yeah, so mycomaterials are just amazing. I'm so happy that they're, like, you know, making their way. So I've, just with my own personal experience with them, I've just gone as far as mushroom paper, which was really fun, and I hope to do more of that and eventually even give a workshop on that. But while I was getting my undergrad in environmental science, we had to do a research project, and I chose to do mine on an analysis of mycofoam, and I compared it to polystyrene, which is styrofoam, and if we were to replace styrofoam with mycofoam, how that would impact our environment as well as our human health. So I did things like energy consumption, you know, compared the two and the carbon footprint, doing different studies with tensile strength, and overall just comparing the two. And it was a very interesting study, and I have that information and that info. If anybody's interested, we can talk about that more after the show.
Yeah, I'd love to. Mycomaterials is one of my favorite myco topics, so I'm excited that it's finally unfolding and the R&D is slowly but surely coming out. Are there any experiments that you haven't gotten around to that you'd like to see happen with mycomaterials and fungi phytates in general?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, daily I am just coming up with all of these ideas. Like, oh my gosh, it's like the fungi has infected my brain, right? So I'm just constantly conjuring up these ideas. One thing that I've really, really hoped to get into further while I have access to my own lab would be working with tires. It's a very prominent waste source that we have with just like wasted tires. So working with a fungal strain to actually break down the composition of these rubber tires. So I've done some research on it, looking into it, but I haven't had the chance to really experiment with it. So that's a big thing that I hope to dive further into soon.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I know we have a lot of tires, and just going back to, like, you know, trash is treasure, you know, I see a lot of people using tires all the time for gardening, yeah, and, you know, making eco homes and things like that. That's awesome. So, you know, the mycological world and even sciences in general, you know, it's kind of a loaded field, which, you know, it's mostly run by men. And for most of history, schools have kind of geared women away from the sciences, unfortunately. And I'm just curious what it is like to be a woman in the mycological world and what your experiences are.
Being a woman in the mycological field, I actually feel very, in my place in, the history of, mycology. There has been, a woman influence from the beginning of it, whether it was folklore or actual, history. Women have always had such a prominent role, within the mycological world. Although, of course, not always being accepted, I think it's just great that women have just stepped up in that role and continued on with it. So I feel very in place in this field. However, I do know there's a lot of men in kind of the farming industry and their whole, like, closed source outlook on it. Like, we're not going to share our techniques and keeping everything very hush-hush. That's really not how I feel that the mushrooms would want it to operate, so to speak. So I'm kind of glad that a lot of us have come together and are open source and communicating, collaborating together to allow the fungi to benefit the community, you know, far and wide. Just for the betterment of us all. That kind of went away from the topic of females in it, but for the basis, I do feel very, very at home here.
I'm glad to hear it. So what projects with micro-remediation have you taken part of?
So I was a part of a research project a little while back working with a contaminated site here in Detroit that was working with Chris Wright from Easy Grow Mushrooms. And we were just taking soil samples and tilling in inoculum into the soil and seeing how we could move from a tabletop study to an actual landscape and seeing how large scale we could go with micro-remediation. However, that project fell off due to lack of funding and resources. And that is one thing that I realized that a lot of us run into doing these projects is the lack of funding. So I think it's really important to get into grant writing and keeping that going. But unfortunately, right now, it's kind of on the back burner, but we hope to get it up and running in the future.
That's awesome. And how long have you been studying micro-remediation, and what do you think is the future of micro-remediation?
So I would say I've been studying it I kind of got into it in college. So I would say about 5 years ago, and it is fascinating. And we know that it works, you know, on a tabletop study. However, just not so much in the actual field. I think if we work on implementing small areas at a time and kind of getting people involved, like a citizen science type of way of implementing these micro remediation test plots just in their backyard or in different areas, we can kind of share data, you know, and see how these things work. So I am hopeful for it. I think it's a groundbreaking technique and definitely think it's an environmentally sound solution, especially compared to these other remediation techniques that we're using now regarding soil. So I'm very hopeful for it.
Yeah, us too. What do you think is the future of urban agriculture? So not just what the micro can do, but beyond that?
Yeah, so I see urban agriculture has gotten pretty big. Even over the past decade. I think it's a great concept. However, it's just important to remember where we are implementing these urban gardens or urban farms, you know, making sure we know what we're growing in and is your soil healthy? What's the, you know, the soil content? Getting these places, you know, these areas of interest kind of soil sampled beforehand. But I think it's a great thing for community, especially in areas of food deserts, which are a lot of time in urban settings.
That's awesome. And how does Fungi Freights hold up these future visions? And what do you see as the future of Fungi Freights?
I think just by being a source where people can come to get information on their community's environmental standpoint, you know, just by being there for somebody to come talk to and to be interested in the natural sciences and have somewhere to go to actually put those interests into play, I think that's keeping people open and aware to these concepts that I think it's very important to know about. With Fungi Freights, one of our very future endeavors is, you know, to get these shipping containers to different areas that are affected, you know, either by environmental justice or food insecurity or just lack of green space, and just be that be that holding ground to develop and grow within sustainable techniques and the natural sciences.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I have one final question. And we ask all of our podcast guests this. And for our listeners listening in, if you have the answer to this question, please feel free to write it in the comment section below or send us an email at mushroomrevival@gmail.com. But the question is, if mushrooms had the mic and could give the whole human race 1 to 2 sentences, what would they say?
Wake up and smell the fungus.
That's a great answer. That's awesome.
I think they would be pretty, they are pretty goofy individuals there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the show. And if anyone wants to learn more about Fungi Freights, definitely check out www.fungifreights.net and check out the cool projects that Tess is doing. And much love, and may the spores be with you.